Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Welcome to Revive Her, a transformative space where we break down walls to unearth the incredible power that lies within every woman. We're your hosts, Haley and Noel.
Dive into candid conversations about entrepreneurship, faith and relationships, and the journeys that define us. Are you ready?
All right, welcome back, Revivers. I am so excited for today's episode. I'm sad because Noelle is not here with us today. I'm doing a solo episode, but we have some really special guests, Lydia Plath and, well, she's a Wise now, Lydia Plath, because people know you from that, but Zach and Lydia Wise, you may know them from Welcome to Plathville. I'm excited to have them here to chat about their relationship with the Lord, the relationship with each other. So guys, welcome to Revive Her.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, super excited for this. To the viewers, real quick, Haley reached out to us kind of on a whim and, you know, we considered it a bit, but we weren't sure if we could fit it in. And luckily enough,
we
found some time. So we're really excited for this. Just super encouraged by how Haley approached us. And so here we are.
Thank you, guys. I can't wait to get into it. The first thing I have to ask today, they shared with me before we started recording. Today is their 6-month anniversary of being married. That's a huge deal, you guys. How does it feel being married for 6 months?
Oh, goodness. Well, the fact that we haven't known each other a year yet is saying something.
Yeah, it's the best thing.
It's in 3 days. 3 days will be the year marker, but still, it's a beautiful thing. I think it's just been so fun. Like, in 6 months, we've been able to go out of the country together and go travel and do all these things. And by no means am I saying, oh, this is what you should do or all that, or we're an amazing place. It's really how the Lord has preceded our relationship. And it's really been the Lord. We've not really tried to control it or been like, oh, we got to do as much as we can in 6 months. It's really been the most amazing 6 months of just letting the Lord guide us.
If our love has grown this much in just 6 months, I can't imagine what it's going to be like in 66 years, let alone like 60 years.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It truly only gets better. And of course, like, I see that you guys are going to keep Jesus the center. And if that's the case, there's nothing that Satan can throw at you that is going to diminish what you guys have. It's beautiful. And I want to start, there's a million questions that I have swirling in my brain. So I'm going to try to go slow, start from the beginning. I want to hear from both of you what your background, either in churches, how did you come to know the Lord and how did you make it your own? Did you have a traditional upbringing, like you were raised in church? Did your parents introduce it to you? Did you attend church? Whoever wants to go first, I kind of wanted to understand how your relationship with the Lord came to be and how you've grown it as individuals.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and start. I grew up in Kansas. And grew up in a Christian home. My parents had me going to church as soon as I had memory.
Probably before that.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of surrounded by like a very loving family. We would, you know, my closest sister was just over a year older than me. And we would just go on adventures together. You know, in Kansas, there's only so much you can do. So we would create our own adventures, our own imagination. Mm-hmm. Just the close-knit family dynamic that I had really bred a lot of the joy that I have today. But also just that close family dynamic was also kind of just example of, yeah, I mean, Jesus with his community and his disciples, mm-hmm. like the family that he built when he was here. So I kind of saw that translate as we were in church too, going to youth group and all that sort of stuff. And then eventually how important that was as I moved out and went to Colorado and was into college ministry and everything like that, how important community was and the people around you. You are the person that, you know, your 5 closest friends are as well. And so it's like surrounding myself with the right people and not just going into the scenes of the chaos. So actually choosing and making sure I have the right people around me.
Was there a moment that I think sometimes, not for everyone, everybody, but for a lot of us, as we're growing up, especially if you've grown up in church, like it's just what your parents did. You go with your parents and you go to children's church and you sit in the pews, whatever. But then you get to a point where you make it your own. You either have I've tasted and seen how good the Lord is type of experience, and you really make your relationship your own. Do you have like a standout moment where you're like, okay, I love Jesus because I love Jesus, not because my parents took me to church? Can you remember like a moment where it really became true to you?
When I moved to Colorado, actually, we grew up in Kansas. And then, you know, after the pandemic and everything, I decided to move to Colorado. And when I moved there, I had the goal to just really be as present as possible and just try new things, just figure out life. And so I went to this church and I started serving at the church, and really serving in general. I don't think there was like a specific moment necessarily, but I saw how the Lord worked in a deeper way by serving others. I remember going into the middle school ministry there and I was like, man, the youth group at first. And I was like, man, I really want to teach high schoolers because I'm learning a lot along those lines and about young adults, but also like high school age. And so I'm like, really feel like I'm prepared for this. But the youth pastor I met with, you know, as I was becoming a leader, he was like, we really need help with sixth grade boys. I'm like, that is the opposite of what I asked for. But, you know, that's how the Lord works. And as I stepped into leadership of sixth grade boys, they showed me so much, the childlike faith, you know, they had some really profound answers that I never would have thought of, you know, to my questions. And so it's really amazing how the Lord can reveal that stuff to you. But like, if I would have closed off and been like, oh, like I wanted high schoolers and I'm not happy with these sixth grade boys, it's like, nope, I'm going to make the most of it. Like I did when I moved to Colorado. In making the most of it, I learned so much more instead of closing myself off to not getting what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so understanding that the Lord has his plan and in each thing that he gives us is so powerful in the overall that like his plan is better. And so I saw that time after time in different serving opportunities, I would be like, well, God, I want this. And he's like, nope, you know, you're going to go this way and it's going to be much more fruitful and you're going to learn a lot more. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay, cool. So
for me, I grew up in a Christian family as well. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 8, but it was really around the time I was like 12 that it became personal, experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. We didn't really like have a church we went to. We had some home groups we would go to. We had families we'd visit with, but I was never really like part of a church mm-hmm. until I was 17.
So your parents introduced you to?
No. How did the church I go to now, the Lord led me there. Okay. And I've been there ever since. Found it when I was 17. And that was a beautiful journey how the Lord led me there. But yeah, just for those, there were several years where it was pretty much just me and the Lord. And I'm so grateful for those years because it really grew the depth of my relationship with the Lord. Not relying on a pastor, any leaders, family, friends. It was really just me and the Lord. Yeah, it really prepared me for what was coming next, the show. And all the things, like if I hadn't been grounded in the Lord at the beginning, mm-hmm. I don't want to know where I would be today. And I remember just like, I don't know, there was just no better thing in the world than spending time with the Lord and praying. And I remember just like telling the Lord, like, I'm here, like, send me wherever you need me and keep me wherever you want me. I knew I had a calling. I knew, I don't know, I just had this burning inside of me and a calling to reach the nations, but I did not Surprise. Think it would be like this.
Yeah.
This is not the way I wanted it.
Yeah.
But like Zach said, it's like when the Lord places you where you're not, like, not that he doesn't give you the desires of your heart, he totally does, but sometimes when you think you want something and the Lord's like, no, I'm placing you here, then you're fully relying on him for his strength and his, because like if I wanted to be on a TV show and I wanted the fame and I wanted all these things, then I would run with it and ruin it.
Then he wouldn't and be, then he wouldn't he be would, first. Would he would be,
yeah, so.
Joe would be first, and so.
So, yeah, like, I wanted to reach the nations. Then the Lord led me here, and it's crazy just seeing how the Lord has worked in and through every bit of it. Yeah, those years that it was just me and the Lord, really just, I'm so grateful for it, because it really taught me to rely on the Lord in all things. Mm-hmm. And I've been really going back to that lately. I'm like, okay, there's some crazy things going on right now. And I want to just get out and just say everything. Yeah. You know, I really need to just go back to me and the Lord and know that He is my defender. He is my rock. He will sustain me, and He is, yeah, everything. So
what drew me to you guys is there's a lot of people on TV that you can tell just love being on TV, and all you see and it comes across is just it's like, and I say this in the most complimenting way, it's like you live in a bubble with Jesus. You can tell you're not there for anything, but you're just living and you're communing with Jesus in your everyday life. It's not a show that you're putting on. Like, you truly invite the Lord into every aspect. Like, that is so evident. And it's why I wanted to get to know you guys deeper and to introduce people to you that maybe haven't met you yet. I think that's missing in so much. So I'm curious, we get a little bit of backstory of how you got to know the Lord. How do you guys individually and together as a couple invite the Lord into your everyday? What does your quiet time routine look like? How do you spend time with Him? What, you know, things like that.
I mean, growing up, it was when I had land, it was just anything outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I read just as much indoors as I did outdoors. We had a farm, 45 acres, and the woods was the best place. No one could interrupt. No one knew where I was. I had my earpieces in, listening. I had a portable CD player, and I found a CD that was just scriptures. And I listened to it till I wore it out. I still have it, and I put it in sometimes just hoping that it'll play again. Like, maybe the Lord healed this disc, but it's still scratched up. So that's what it looked like when I had land. Now that we're in town, we live in Tallahassee now. Yeah, it's been a lot of adjusting for me, because it's like I can still take my walks, still pray, but my environment is different. I had my prayer closet at my dad's house and don't have that here, but I did bring all of my prayers, my scripture notes, everything, and put it on the walls of our bedroom, which is beautiful. So yeah, I'm getting in the Word every day. Been reading through several different things, Psalms, Acts, Esther. And then for me, just worship anywhere and everywhere. You know, on my way to work, at work. Yesterday, I was singing my work the entire day, just worshiping in my heart. I think that's the biggest thing. No matter how much you read, you know, whether it's one verse a day or a whole book, having a heart of worship in everything you do. You know, whether you're cleaning the house or at work or on a TV show or cleaning the bathroom, having a heart of worship and worshiping the Lord in through your actions and everything you do.
With all that said from her, I just want to like also encourage people. She's bringing God into her every day.
Yeah.
And I think that points to her relationship with God. And God wants that personal relationship with everyone. And so it's going to be personal. I can be friends with some of Lydia's friends, and Lydia can be friends with some of my friends, but those relationships are still different. They're still different, very personal. And so like each personal relationship can be different. I think with our relationship with God, like that's going to be personally different. So she can tell you all these things and you can try them and they very well could work for you, but you have to find what works for you too. Cause like, I don't personally read the Bible every day. I'm just being honest. I know a lot of people don't, and we are called to know God's word, and that's definitely a big piece of it. And I'm doing more and more to get into that routine and build that discipline. Hebrews 12 talks about discipline. Mm-hmm. We are called to have that discipline and grow in that faith. But for me personally, like activity, like she was saying, like when she goes outdoors and explores and that sort of stuff, she feels closer to the Lord, the worship aspect of it. And so that's me as well. Music, or you know, going on walks, or even just like playing tennis, being active. I thank the Lord that my body can do these things and that sort of stuff. And so I kind of bring Him along in those sorts of instances. I absolutely read my Bible still. That is still a necessity.
Yeah.
I don't know how to live more like Christ if I don't know how He lived. So I still have to do that, absolutely. And I'm getting better at that. Mm-hmm. But by no means, I think so many people get bent on like, well, if I read my Bible every day and, you know, if I pray every waking moment, yeah. It's like, okay, yes, you're doing it and that's good, but it's not based on works. There's a veil over the eyes of people sometimes that can blind them from actually understanding what they're reading or understanding what they're praying, or, you know, if they have this fear that like God's going to spite them if they don't, it's like, then that's not, you know, that's not the right fear of God. Mm-hmm. The fear of God that we should pursue is the awe of God. When you look at a mountain and you're scared of the cliff, but you see the almighty beauty at the same time, that's mm-hmm. kind of the awe that we're encompassing in our relationship with God, is that yeah. yes, there is a beauty in the relationship with him, but there's also a fear that there's danger as well, in terms of if you fall away from him and fall into sin and that sort of stuff. There's directions to follow the path, and they're there for a reason, because it breeds so much more. You can get to the peaks, you can yeah. get to the valleys, you can get to where you need to go without falling into danger. But there still is that danger mm-hmm. at the same time. And so yeah, I think that's just kind of what I was extending off of her. But also that was kind of my thing as well. It's like, I love nature. Mm-hmm. I love praying is often, I love to pray for people in the moment. Like sometimes I'll ask people like, how can I pray for you? And they like expect me to just listen and then move on. Yeah. I like listen. I'm like, okay,
let's pray.
Dear Lord, thank you for this. Because yeah. I know that if I leave the conversation, sometimes I just don't pray. Yeah. And so I'm like, got to do it now or else yeah. it's going to not happen. So
it's more powerful for them to hear your prayers.
Absolutely.
And be exactly. present and bring them into your prayers. Absolutely. As well. Instead of just like saving it for later. And then maybe most likely forgetting about it, all the things.
Yeah. yeah.
So it's almost a sign of obedience, right? God or Jesus, when he was performing the miracle, I don't know the details. I'm learning them. Mm-hmm. But when he told the guy, pick up your mat and walk, he went and grabbed him and helped him up. Mm-hmm. Like there's action in that. Mm-hmm. I think taking action on the things that we have faith about and belief, it's like faith without deeds is dead kind of thing. And in James, you talk about if you go up to someone who's homeless or poor or something like that and says like, well, just go eat a sandwich or go yep. get some clothes on. It's like, yeah, you. Like who are you? Like, that's not going to help them. Mm-hmm. Like if you have the means to help them, use your actions, mm-hmm. live the walk that you believe so in so much. Action goes a long way.
Yeah. I love that you brought up, I was telling them before we started recording, I want to be careful not to place you guys on a pedestal, because it's very easy to do, because you have, like I was saying, you have the fruit of the Spirit truly coming out of you, but you're humans. Mm-hmm. And it's our walk with God is not going to look like yours. It's not going to look like mine. It's all going to be different. And we have different struggles. So when you were sharing that you don't read your Bible every day, that's something that I have struggled with consistently, because I'm a very literal thinker. And I've prayed all the time, Lord, I want to just be obsessed with your word, and I want to be in it every day, and I want to love it. And sometimes that is just not the case. And it's like, I have the desire, but then as I go to do it, it's like I struggle to either understand it or feel excitement about it. And I had to figure out what worked for me. And I use study tools, and I'll get books that it's like Bible study books. So it breaks it down in a very easy to understand way. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. It looks a little different for me, but like I finally have that excitement for your word that I'm praying for. I just needed a little different tool to do that. So I love that you brought that up, because you know, it's easy to look at you guys and be like, man, I really want what they have. Like, I want to be like Lydia and listen to this episode and yearn and crave and worship all the time, but I may not be geared that way to go out in nature and do it this way or that way. So I really love that you brought out that contrast, because it is going to be different. And my co-host Noelle and I tell our people, we call it like pockets of peace. And mm-hmm. you may not be able to spend hours a day in the Lord's presence on your knees, but if you give him your all in your 15-minute shower, or as you're driving to work, you're just either speaking in tongues or worshiping, and like you're giving him all of you in that moment, that is so much better than trying to just check off a box of I read my Bible today, I prayed, I went to church, I had small group, you know what I mean?
I
love that. So I want to get into, so you guys, I see you're relationship with the Lord. How did your relationship with the Lord bring you to each other? Because if you don't know, sweet little Lydia and Zach here randomly met on a trip. And if you can watch the show and get their story, I think, and you guys did Ginger and Jeremy's podcast. They really go into
Ginger and Jeremy is the best depiction of our story.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not going to have you guys repeat everything here, but we'll get into it a little bit. They met you started dating within like 3 weeks of meeting each other. Like, give us a little, like I said, you don't have to go into detail. We'll listen to Ginger and Jeremy's if you want to hear that. But how did the Lord draw you to each other? How did you know it was him? All the things. Give us the details.
Okay. So dating 9 days after we met each other.
Nine days. Okay.
Ring shopping 3.5 weeks after we started dating.
Do I need to cut that out?
She asked me to go, okay?
Okay, there's a lot to fill in before that.
Is there, Lydia?
Nope, that's it. All right, thank you.
Good to have you guys. We're going to end it here.
That's his flex there. It's like, she asked me to go ring shopping.
Yeah, she proposed to me is what Zach said.
I want to know is the forefront of it all. She had her own.
Yeah, so like to start off, the chance of us meeting in the first place was the Lord.
Impossible. Yeah. I was supposed to be in Alaska. I was building cabins in Alaska. I got done like a couple weeks early because the work was just not showing up. And so we were like, all right, well, we got our work done. I got to go home. I got to start making more money. I'm not making anything here, or at least what I expected. And so I come home and Lydia, she took this out of whim trip. Like it's a random trip. She had never.
Colorado had been one of my favorite states, been wanting to go there for a long time. And the year before, I traveled the country on a missions trip, covered 38 states that whole year while we're traveling. And we literally went every state around Colorado, but we didn't touch Colorado. So I was like, all right, got to go back to Colorado. Yeah. So I planned a trip with my friend for a 5-6 week period.
Yeah.
Ended up. We found his church online.
Okay, so this is the tea, if you want to get some tea here. We both were talking to people weeks before we met.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she was in process of talking to someone after she met me. I was talking to someone, I think 3 weeks, 4 weeks before, and she rejected me. She was like, I like this other guy. And so I was like, whoa, that's okay. I'm single forever. Thank you. So it's like, it's weird. Yeah. It's weird. Like accepting the singleness. Like I was just like, okay, I'm good. Like, I don't need to date. I don't need to look anything like that.
Yeah. And then for me, like relationship wise, I had just the worst year in every way. Mm-hmm. It had been about a year since my ex broke up with me. And then just everything else that happened after that was just a roller coaster and a train wreck. And then I had been talking to this guy for 6 months when I met Zach.
Okay.
He had just, right before I met Zach, asked me on a date. So like we'd been talking for a long time, long distance. We were just good friends. And then, yeah, he asked me on a date and I said yes. But then I met Zach. But I wasn't supposed to meet Zach because I was supposed to have a call with him that night. Mm-hmm. But he happened the first time in
ever
6 months. He was just too darn tired that night. So
yeah,
30 minutes before my friend was going to leave to go visit his church, canceled the call. And then I was like, well, I'm still just going to stay here. I'm already in my pajamas and I just want to spend time with the Lord. I need to just let some things go.
So,
and then my friend,
let's just tally it up a little bit real quick. So I'm supposed to be in Alaska. I was talking to a girl, not happening anymore, content with singleness. And I'm like in the mindset of like, okay, I'll just be intentional with people and I'll like minister as much as I can. Mm-hmm.
And then for me,
she is talking to someone. She was supposed to have a call, but doesn't. She makes the choice to stay at the place, but we're at five right now.
And you went everywhere but Colorado. So I would add that to the bucket.
Yeah, you got six. So we'll continue.
Yeah. So my friend I was traveling with, she's, very easygoing. She wouldn't tell me what to do in a million years. But that one time she was like, no, you're coming with me. We're going to go meet people together.
Seven.
So keep this telling going, Zach. I like this.
Yeah, I got you.
So I go to Young Adults that night. And actually how we ended up in his church is a whole nother thing. 8.
Boy, tell that then.
Yeah, so we found
his church. How did you go to Young Adults?
We found his church online. It was the only one in the entire area that stood out to us online. And then a friend of my friend, she had just moved to the area. She was like, I'm trying out this new church, Mountain View, if you want to join. We're like, oh, yeah, that's the one that we'd want to go to. So we went there. And then that morning, it's a huge church. There's thousands of people. Some random girl comes up to me. I have not seen her since. She may have been an angel sent from the Lord. I don't know.
Yeah.
But no, like she introduces herself and then she invites us to Young Adults, which, by the way, Young Adults only happens once a month. So we happen to be there on the Sunday.
Oh, my God. That-
We're at 11. This is 11.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. Keep it going, Zach. This is great. Yeah,
yeah. So she invited us and yeah, haven't seen her since. If you're listening to this, thank you so much. You're the best. Let me know who you are. But, yeah. So then everything else happened and against all odds. Yeah,
so they go to Young Adults. Yeah. And then
Zach noticed.
So I noticed her. So she walks in the room. I'm like in the mindset. I want to be intentional with people. And so I'm like looking for newcomers. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at people that I haven't seen before.
But there's like 100 young adults there.
There's a lot of people. And she just sticks out. I'm like, whoa, there's something about her. There was like a glow to her. It was interesting. I was like, that's new. I've never experienced that before. But my instinct, like, just coming off of talking to this girl and being like, okay, I'm content with singleness. I want to be intentional. I'm like, okay, if you're going to be intentional with this person, God's going to make a conversation happen with her. So you're not going to approach her and like, just don't approach her because you're obviously going in with the intent that you actually like her and not you want to be intentional with her.
Yeah.
And
so
Zach was like, all right, I'm not going to approach her. Like if God wants us to meet, we'll meet.
And also I just want to plug obedience again on your part, Zach. Like part of your story growing up was obedience and you had a choice to ignore that voice or to pursue and you were obedient. And I think that's it has to be a huge part of the story.
Yeah.
So Young Adults ended. We did not meet, but everyone was going to ice cream afterwards. There was probably 50 people going to ice cream and we ended up in line next to each other.
So yeah.
So
another now we don't know where we're at. So like 12, 13, whatever it may be. But yeah, we ended up in line next to each other, talked for, and that was like the start of everything.
Although I was trying to ignore him because I felt guilty because I was really enjoying my time with him, but I had been talking
to I'm talking to her friend. I see her specifically, but I'm talking to her friend. So I'm just being intentional and her just being in proximity gets her excited and breathes this.
A short picture of Alaska in the mountains. And all the things
I love. Like, let me show you everything that I know you'll love too.
I know. Yeah. So
pretty much, needless to say, that night was my heart was pulled into. Yeah. So, but it was through that we ended up planning a hike together. Went on the first hike with our total of 5 of us, friends and all. And then
we don't need to tell the whole story.
No, we're not telling the whole story. But she just asked how the Lord.
Yeah.
I want to get back to the question after we said how we met.
Yeah.
Back to the question of just how.
If you can't tell, we love telling our stories.
And you go into as much detail as you want. I am here for it.
But yeah, back to the question of like how we knew the Lord was in every bit of it. And honestly, like the second hike we went on where we did the 4-in-1 day was just such a beautiful journey, literally.
I think the word to put to it is natural. It was so natural. We were, again, like from the first glance to being like, I like her and all this, and like avoiding that and actually wanting to be intentional to her and like honor her and care for her, to just dating her and then you know, and so on and so forth. Because I made that decision at the beginning, I was intentional from the start. And there's this naturalness that comes from it of, I'm not pursuing you for your attention. I'm not pursuing you for any sort of, I don't need to do anything for your reaction. I'm doing it because I care for you and I want us to come together.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting to like, it honestly like is hard to understand even now. I'm like trying to process it. I'm like, how did this even happen? Oh, it's just the Lord bringing us together.
Yeah. So, if you know, you know, you cannot describe that feeling. It's like I'm sure you guys have heard that your whole lives.
Yeah.
Like when you know, and it's like, once you find that person and you're like, oh, I get it. Can't really describe it. It's like, you just know there's something deep in your heart and soul that you just know.
So on that hike, it was between the first and second peaks that we had just a time of prayer and worship, and that was just, it was completely natural. Like Yeah.
One of us started singing. I think
I started singing. I don't know. We sang, we worship in the mountains, and it was just so natural and beautiful. And I knew I was still wrestling with everything. Hey, like, this time with this guy is insane, and I don't know what's happening, but I've already given this other guy my word that, you know, I don't want to go back on my word or anything. Mm. And then on the third peak, Zach just poured out his heart for like an hour, not necessarily needing a response from me, but just to be open and honest with me about where he was.
Well, the clarity. And, I think so often people miss clarity in relationships on both sides. I think oftentimes the female is like waiting for the guy to do something, and yet the guy has no idea that she needs something from him or something like that. And so it's like, from my perspective, I'm like, I'm gonna be as forthcoming as possible that I'm having a great time and that this is something that I've never experienced before, because this is a beautiful thing and this is something that I would love to continue pursuing. And so I said all that. Now give it detail over an hour. So
pause you, Zach. I think is really special about you, because there's not a lot of men that would be in tune, one, with their emotions to even recognize that. Two, would consider, I'll just say your partner, she's not your partner at this point, but consider the woman in the equation of thinking, what does she need to know? What should I reveal to her? What would make her feel comfortable in this moment? Whatever it is, there's not a lot of men that hold that level of emotional maturity and intelligence, and not even just the mental aspect, like the spiritual aspect. Like, that was you leading her before you were ever even together. So, I mean, hats off to you. That's incredible.
100%. And that's one thing that I just loved so much about him from the beginning, was just how clear he was. Mm-hmm. He put everything on the table. He didn't pressure me. He didn't like need an answer. He just was open and honest with me. Mm-hmm. So on that peak, I pretty much just told him, our timeline is measured in mountains, by the way. So on the third peak, after all that, I pretty much just told him, I was like, I don't know, I just need time, because I was just wrestling. And he was like, okay, like, what do you mean by that? And what does scripture say about time? And then that got me thinking. I was like, oh, what I mean is, I don't want to make a decision right now. And I'm scared of making a decision. I'm scared of what people think of me. And I'm scared of blah, blah, blah. So I pretty much just said, like, okay, actually, the only thing on my way is me. And he said no more. He just prayed. And I cried. And then we just hiked on to the next peak. But over the next mountain, I prayed the whole mountain, just praying in spirit and just hanging under my breath the whole peak. And I just felt like I had felt the feeling before of like when the Lord was leading me to do something. And I was like, there are so many questions. There's so many unknowns. There's so many things I don't know about this guy, but I just know I need to say yes. Mm-hmm. And so we start going down the mountain. It started snowing in August in September.
Yeah.
And then as we got lower in altitude, the snow turned into rain. We danced in the rain.
Pastor would dance in the rain.
And then,
call it a movie, honestly.
Yeah, for real. I was literally like, is this going to be my love story?
Yes.
You know, it is. And then after we danced in the rain, he was like, all right, we should go back. And I just held his hand, pulled him back in, and was like, I'm ready to take a huge step and say yes to whatever the Lord has for us. He just embraced me in a big hug.
I was like, thank you.
I was like, thank you for trusting me. And then it was the next day, he asked me to be his girlfriend. And then, so fast forward, over the next 3 weeks, we had so many
things. If you want more of the details, like, shameless plug, honestly, Ginger and Jeremy asked the right questions, and we were able to cover a lot. Go to Ginger and Jeremy.
There's part one, part two of our story. So there's a lot there, mm-hmm. if you want all the details.
Yeah.
But pretty much, like, 3 weeks into dating, there had just been so many experiences, so many God winks, so many just... the Lord is in this, and just such a great time, so much joy that we'd never experienced together, so many things that we're like, okay, we need to take our own time and see like where the Lord's at in this, to get clarity on how
this. I brought this to her. I was like in the car, I was like, okay,
because
I don't know what's happening.
I had missed two flights out of Colorado. Like, I just couldn't leave. Crazy. I was like, all right, Lord wants me.
A Toyota broke down.
Yeah, that's like, nuts. The Toyotas do not break down.
I know. That doesn't make sense. Mm-mm. So
God just throwing out everything at you guys at this point.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was just the amount of times we said, like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
every few minutes. Like,
so I was telling her, I was just like, okay, we've asked this question a lot of times. Let's figure it out. Like, there's so much going on because of how the Lord is working. So let's have a conversation with the Lord and like just figure it out. And I was like, but it needs to be individual. because we need to personalize this Absolutely. With the Lord and bring the Lord in to our personal lives and have him work through us, not through us. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let's go take some time and let's see what the Lord has for us. And so we went to the park, we went our separate ways, and like just really opened up to like a heart of worship, of just worshiping for one, but also like reading the Bible and just like opening our hearts to how God was leading.
And really so. Just surrendering it all, just giving it to the Lord. So for me, I was like, you know, I read some, I journaled some, I worshiped some, and then I prayed, and I was just praying and looking for the no. Because it's like, Lord, you've given it before. I'm sure you got another one. But after like just complete silence for a long time, no came. And all I was left with was, I am well pleased.
Yeah.
And so I told that to Zach after, you know, after we came back together, and he just froze in his steps. He was like,
well, I freaked out. I was like,
he shared his
are you serious?
Experience.
So basically, as I was saying, we like get into the heart of worship, everything like that. I started praying. I'm like, okay, God, this is awesome. I am loving this. This girl is amazing. This woman's amazing. And she's definitely a person I could see in my life. But I want to give it up to you. I want, if this is not your will, then I don't want it. And take it from me. And I'm like, right? Take it from me, but don't. But please, Lord, I want your will to be done. Mm-hmm. And I had an urge to kneel, and it was very powerful. I was like, I hadn't really experienced it to this extent before. And so I was like, okay, it was kind of funny. I was like, okay, well, I could go wrap back around and go to this field. And then I felt the urge again. I'm like, okay, I'm kneeling now. Fine. But it's like the direct obedience. And So I was like, okay. And I like just opened my palms and was just like, God, I'm open to whatever you have to say to me. Is You're obviously speaking, kind of opened my heart and mind, and all I was really left with was, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. And I was just like, whoa, like goosebumps and everything. Yeah. I was just like, what's happening? And so then I meet up with her and tell her all this after she tells me, and well, she said first, and I was just like, no way. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? And so for it to be the same was just such a blessing. I think, you know, I know that doesn't happen with everyone. Yeah. And I know that's like often like a question that comes up with people, like, why don't I hear from the Lord? It's like, I don't know why the Lord decided to speak to me in that moment.
Well, I want to say this too, like, this might be an extreme comparison, but at the same time, sure. Not. It's like you guys kind of remind, in this moment, are reminding me of Abraham and Isaac. God told him to, like, he went and laid his son on this altar ready to sacrifice. Right. And I feel like in this moment, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are getting the sense that this is something bigger. Like, this might be my person who I'm to become one with. And you're not leaning on your own understanding, like the Bible says. And that's what I think people miss in relationships a lot, is that we lean on our own understanding, our emotions, the highs of this puppy love in the beginning, the honeymoon phase. And you guys are being like, here, Abraham did with Isaac, I'm going to lay this relationship here, Lord. I don't want it if it's not from you. I really, really want this. Like, it feels really good, but like, I'm sacrificing it should it need to happen. And then the Lord's okay, here's a ram. I'm well pleased. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of what came in my mind in this moment. And I think, and again, if you disagree, let me know, but I don't think this would have happened for you guys and anyone in your position if you hadn't individually spent your lives worshiping the Lord, giving him every moment, inviting him into your day. Up until this point, before you even met each other, you guys had a relationship with the Lord. You learned to hear his voice. You have to learn to tune in to the Holy Spirit and to the leading of the Lord. And you guys did that. So if you hadn't had that relationship, maybe you would have missed it. Maybe he still would have brought it in divine. I obviously can't speak to that. But I think the obedience you guys had and the yearning and the love for Christ you had separately is the reason you guys were able to find each other.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And even thinking back on it, I wouldn't be at all surprised if the Lord literally spoke that to us at the exact same time.
Yeah.
It's like, it probably was.
It felt, similar timing.
Anyways, so the fact that we like both heard the same thing from the Lord, we were just on a cloud. We were like literally I could feel it. I could feel that he was ready to propose in that moment. So we hugged probably for like a half hour or an hour. And I could just, it was just so strong. And I literally told him, he didn't say anything. I just looked him in the eye and I was like, you have to talk to my dad first. Yeah. And he didn't even say like, how'd you know or anything? He was like, I know.
Yeah. So was this hard for you, Zach, coming into the reality TV world, like that it was filmed, you asking for her in a marriage? Did you feel like that took something away from you in that moment of it being private? Did you mind having it filmed? How did that feel for you having to bring this whole world into this moment for you?
Yeah, that was a crazy thing.
Yeah. So there's certain things that like are refilmed, but there's okay. also, so we did have a private moment for that specifically, yeah. but there are definitely moments that we felt should be private that were put on film immediately. So it's like,
it can be hard.
It can be hard to navigate. And it's also like, especially sometimes the way it's edited, it's like, well, that's not actually how the conversation went. Mm-hmm. So,
or there was much more depth to it.
Yeah. Just, or I had more, yeah. I had more to say than just whatever was put out. So yeah, I think it's a give and take for sure. A lot of our desire going into filming was more just like, I mean, we talked for it for a good month of like, okay, what is our goal and what is our purpose? Like, can we make this centered around Christ? Can we make this centered around the joy that we are experiencing and just let it overflow so that it can be seen by everyone? Because it was so much, like even knowing that we were going to have opposition in the short timeline, even knowing we were going to have these trials that would come against us, it's like, we were like so locked in the joy that it's like, okay, we have support from some of our community. We have these things in place. We have a circle around us of people who will support us no matter what. So might as well step into this and we might as well see where it leads. And, you know, whether it's taken the wrong way or not, it's like, we're trying to live this in the light of Christ and in the model that we want.
So for me, you know, the last six seasons, I have kind of just been a background character and that's what I wanted. But right before I met Zach, literally a few days before I met Zach, I was like praying, like really surrendering to the Lord. And I was like, all right, Lord, these 6 years of filming, being the public eye, all this has just been crazy. And there has been good that comes from it, but there's been hurt. There's been all these things. And I'm just like, I don't want this if you're not in it. But I also don't want to not give it my all if you are in it. Mm-hmm. So if you do have a season 7, I want to give it my all and run with you in it. And so here we are.
Here I am.
I love like, it so much.
So mostly like some of the main characters this season, at least more so than I ever have been. And it's just like, wow, okay. All I had to do was
submit that to the Lord.
Give it to the Lord.
Which is a theme with you guys. It's a constant theme of constantly bring the Lord in it. My husband and I got him roped into watching it with me. And we had a running joke that Lydia has to be protected at all costs. We love Lydia. Like, Lord, I literally prayed for you multiple times. Like, Lord, you just got to protect Lydia at all costs because she's just this beautiful, innocent, joyful person. And then here comes Zach and I'm like, that's your protector. That's her person. That's the one she gets to become one with. And it's, you can just see. You can see that you've budded, like you can see that you have come more to the forefront and think, and this is absolutely like no disrespect to your family. This, I just want to focus on you because I'm talking to you in this moment. I really think that you are going to be the one out of who we get to see that genuinely leads people to Christ, that helps the Lord put their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And like, Zach, now you're a part of this and you have this platform that you never asked for. And I mean, you have people that can see that this is a ministry for you. And I love, Zach, that you're her protector now. It's like my favorite thing ever.
Yeah. Then when season 7 was presented to us, we were just like, okay, what is happening? We're 2-3 months into our relationship. Timeline wise, we're very fresh, but yet we were so grounded. Mm-hmm. We were so steadfast. We knew where the Lord was leading us. We knew what we were called to, that we were like, okay, even if, you know, we do this and all hell comes against us, like we have the Lord's blessing. We have my pastor's blessing. We have my dad's blessing. And we know that the Lord is leading us and he's giving us strength. So we're we're like, we're going to give this our all. Our goal is just to be a light, to spread, you know, share the joy we have, share the joy of the Lord, you know, whatever comes against us, like, we're going to choose joy. And we, there were several moments where it was really hard. We were like, we just have to choose joy here. Mm-hmm. And that bred so much more depth and growth and more joy and fulfillment.
Are you able to go into any of the challenges? Because I feel like we have a lot of listeners who are married, but we also have a lot that are single and just really yearn to have that significant other. And we've talked, like, we've gotten messages and stuff. They start dating someone and then just crap hits the fan and, you know, it fizzles out. They don't know how to handle challenges together. And then they end up splitting up. Sometimes that might be good. Sometimes maybe they miss the Lord have for them. Are you able to share any challenges that you guys were faced with? And yes, you had the joy and you knew this was divine intervention, but I'm sure there were some like action steps too, possibly, that you had to take to make sure you guys were solid and like got through those challenges together. Are you able to share any of that?
I think some we can, some we can't right now. But the way we would go about conflict was definitely like, there's just a lot of clarity on both ends. And so I would tell her constantly, I'm like, I want you to tell me what hurts you. I want you to tell me the hard things. And I want you to tell me what you're annoyed by. I want you to tell me what I don't want to hear, because that's going to make me better for you. That's going to make me stronger in the end of it all. And, you know, and she would turn around. And she would turn around and say the same thing of like, no, yeah, like I can agree with that. And I would also ask the same, because we are in this together, and bringing those to light and ironing those out together is how we do it. And I think that can often get lost on the male side with, that's that they can control in different ways. And I'm like, there's no point I've really controlled her. It's more so I've guided her and like, and led her. But like a leader often doesn't, is not controlling. They give directions and they serve first to bring everyone to the same thing. And so I guess think of it like a construction project. There's a leader there, and yes, he's telling people what to do. And there's a difference between telling people what to do and controlling what people should do.
Right.
And so often it's a fine line that often I feel is missed, especially in the man, in the man, is that, oh, like I'm the leader, so I can tell her what to do and I can be white knuckle on her and I'm not the problem. No, you're exactly the problem, actually. And so I think that's huge I've had to take ownership over that so much of, I don't want to control you. You know, I do want to lead you in the right direction. I do want to shine the light that I see so presently. I do want to give you opportunities where they are present and make your skills bigger than you think they are. Believe in who you are more than you believe in yourself. And so lifting her up as much as I can. And then in return, she does a lot of the same of, hey, like, what goals do you have? What hobbies do you have? How can I help you? Or how can I bring peace of mind while you're doing all these things for me? Or bring peace of mind while you're doing, you know, your own stuff.
And then for,
there's sacrifice in both ways of
it. So, you know, when you're dating, engaged, or you're married, if you're, and especially like once you're married, this is 100% vital, but there has to come a point where if you can't see that you are fighting for the same thing, and it's not you versus him, it's not, you know, him versus you, you're both fighting for the same thing, you're both fighting for the same goal, and give way to that, then you're gonna be in constant tension. Especially when it comes to marriage. Once you're married, you have to know that you're one, you have the same goal, you're not each other's enemies, you're not, yes, you hurt each other, but it was,
you also build each
you
other
also
up.
Build yeah so. You use that to then build each other up more. If you can't focus, and instead of pointing at each other, bringing the goal forward. And one thing that Zach and I have done a lot is when we're in a good place, when we're in, you know, a comfortable place, we like tell each other like, okay, I'm ready to hear whatever you need to say, no matter how hard it is. But if there's any way I have hurt you, or if there's any way I could support you more, if there's any way that you've been disappointed in me, now's the time to tell me. Now's the time that my heart is prepared to hear whatever it is you have. And there have been a few times where we've had this conversation. It's been really fruitful. And things that like I would be scared to say, he's like, no, tell me. I need to hear this. I need to know, you know, how I've let you down, or how you've been misled, or how I haven't lived up to my word. And that's just, that's what a leader does.
Yeah.
He, yeah. takes responsibility for his actions. Mm-hmm.
And you have to create a safe space. That's what I'm also hearing from you guys. You can say that you want to have open communication and tell each other, when you said this, it made me feel this way and it hurt me, whatever. But you have to trust that he's not going to blow up on you, or she's not going to go crazy and blow up on you and not be able to take it and pray about it, meditate on it, and then try to correct it, make changes in the actions or the words after. There's a lot of people who try, I think, to do what you guys are talking about, but there's not that safe space that be like, I can handle whatever you need to tell me. I love you and I'm going to work on it. And that you have to have that safety in that space of conversation.
Yeah.
I really love that you guys say that.
Yeah. He's been in such a safe place. But one thing I've learned the hard way is how important timing is in when you say it and how you say it.
Yeah.
Because there are times that he needs to know this. But if I say it right now, it's just going to make it worse.
Yeah.
And it has made it worse.
Yeah.
And then you got to fix that. But there are other times, like when he's like, okay, tell me. I'm prepared to hear the hardest of it. And that's when I can bring it up and that. Tell him, you need to change this. And obviously it does the same for me. It's not a one way. You know? Yeah.
Have you guys I'm not perfect one here. Do you guys have different communication styles? Like, I 100%. Am a, I want to talk about it now. I'll be anxious about it if we can't. Like, I just want to talk about it now, resolve it and get it done. And then my husband's more of a, let me process. Like, I need time to think about it. And then we'll talk. And I'm like, over here dying because I just want to talk about it right now. Like, do you guys have like a similar dynamic? What's your dynamic there?
No, 100%. Zach will talk. And the moment there's pressure or tension, I go silent.
Okay.
But that only makes it worse.
Yeah.
And then, so.
So like, I'll be like going through something that like, I just need to navigate and like externally process.
Yeah.
And like, hey, like help me out to understand this. And then she won't say anything. And I'm like, crap. So I'm the issue here. Or I start blaming myself.
Zach,
and
I identify that so much with you.
Yeah.
Same.
And so it's like, that's something that we've navigated though. It's like, now she knows when to speak up. And now she knows like, oh, it makes it so much worse if I don't respond, even though I am processing internally. There's certain things I have to say
even
in order for you not to just implode. And so
even if I don't know the answer, even just saying like just anything, like I will go.
Well, even the clarity of like, hey, like I need a moment to process this.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
It's so much better than her just being like,
I feel that so hard. Yeah.
So that's one thing we're learning. And I feel like we've gotten a lot better.
A lot better.
Yeah.
We've grown so much in that, even just in 6 months. And every day we're just like, how have we grown so much? How have we, you know, how's our love grown so much? How are we where we're at right now? And it's all the Lord, and it's all us surrendering to the Lord and giving the Lord the rightful place in our relationship. And it's been such a beautiful journey.
Yeah, for sure.
One more question, because I want to be respectful of your time. I want to hear from both of you, because again, you've established we all have different walks with the Lord. If someone is in a spot listening to this, they're watching you guys listening to this episode, and they're like, I want to know the Lord this way. What advice would you give them?
If your heart desires the Lord, you will pursue him in whatever way you can. If you're a mom of three and you don't have time to read a chapter, you know, before you put your feet on the floor, that's where you're at in life. But if your heart is yearning for more, the Lord will give you more. And that's going to look different for everyone. But I think a lot of people are realizing just how necessary the presence of the Lord is and the fruit of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. Without those things, it's dry, it's legalistic, it's, you know, there's no fruit. So, but if you're, if your heart yearns for the Lord, really all you have to do is just say, Lord, I desire more of you. And he is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He will
absolutely
give to his children what they ask, especially when it's him.
Yeah.
Like if you're asking for him, the Lord is not going to deny your request. Mm-hmm. So and it's going to look different for everyone. But if your heart is seeking him, he will come through.
I would want to first like understand why I'd be seeking him. And I mean, I think the core of our belief is the gospel of just he died for our sins and he rose again. And that's so much more powerful than I think any of us can truly understand.
Well, more to that, like he gave his life so that we could have his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the power that we live in, is that he has given us his spirit. He has given us himself. How could we not desire to walk in the fullness of that?
Well, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, then the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, I know we've mentioned that many times. Some people might not know it. And I know people won't always look it up. But like those things are just ways to see, you know, how the Lord is in your life in so many ways. And so, but back to the gospel, I think the way that he loves you is, I mean, he died for you. I mean, thinking of it just in the sense of if someone cared for you so much that they would take a bullet for you or do what they need to protect you, it's like he protected us from all death, all sin, and to have a personal relationship with us and have us live eternally with him. And that's just like such a beautiful thing that he would give that up for us. And his love is all powerful in that. And so, but in terms of just like, how do I get to know the Lord more and that sort of stuff, I think gratitude goes so much further than I can even explain. In the seasons where I'm not reading my Bible, in the seasons where I'm not always seeking him, I'm like, okay, what am I grateful for though? Like, what has the Lord given me? What am I blessed with? And it's like, wow, so much. Like there's so much that I can't even like write it all down. I can't even explain it all. I can't even. And then you look at other people in the world and how they're living, and it's like, wow, like I have so much, and I have so much to be grateful for, even just to be here. You know, there's plenty of deaths just in different ways throughout the world. So it's like, even just to wake up this morning, or even to be healthy, even to breathe, like we take this stuff for granted. And so I think, you know, how can you grow closer to the Lord? You'd be grateful for what he's given you. I think that's so much more powerful. And it's actually, I heard from Jonathan Bakluta, Becoming Something, he said something on gratitude, that there's actually, it's been studied that in the brain, gratitude and anxiety can't exist at the same time.
Yes, I saw that.
When you're grateful, you will be less anxious. Chemically, it's scientifically, it's
literally
proven.
True. Yes,
the more gratitude you have, you know, I've done it before where I write down 5 things I'm grateful for a day, or I text a friend, you know, what are 5 things you're grateful for, I'll send you mine. I think it's great to have a friend to do it with too, because it's like, it's cool to see what they're grateful for and just all the things that you randomly can be grateful for. So
I feel like this has been a true iron sharpens iron episode. I am so appreciative of you guys sharing your story, and just you both are so wise in just your walk. You really are. I'm so grateful that our community could hear from you guys. So if they want to follow along with you guys, watch your journey, how can people find you?
Well, we got Instagram and Facebook, main one being Lydia Wise.
Lydia Joy Plath is my handle. Lydia Plath Wise is my
We'll have it linked in the show note too, guys.
We have a YouTube channel called Becoming Wise, which we'll be doing.
We'll be sharing more just our journey there.
Yeah, sharing more of our journey and just doing some new content. So go check it out.
That's very exciting. I will definitely be checking that out. Guys, thank you so much for sharing to our community of revivers. Okay, guys, so we'll catch you later.
Thank you so much for having us.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate the show, follow us on Instagram, leave a review on Apple, and check out our website, reviveherpodcast.com.
Stuck in a dinner rut? Let Cook Unity handle dinner with chef-crafted meals delivered right to your door. Cook Unity makes it easy with new menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a growing community of award-winning chefs, plus over 400 flavorful meals for every palate. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/mealtime50 or enter code mealtime50 before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's cookunity.com/mealtime50.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.